Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout is in today, Certified Financial Planner. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here on Thursday, August 29, on the cusp of the weekend, long weekend.
Labor Day.
Sunday, Monday, Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And with us here today, Heidi Thompson, Shea Pataja.
Hey.
Welcome all.
Good morning.
We're all back.
What's that?
We're all back.
That's right. You've been gone for a while, the three of you.
Summer.
Yeah, busy summer.
Summertime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still feeling it. You know, the mid-low 70s, rocking and rolling. It appears as though people are kind of embracing the weather. See a few flannel shirts here and there and that sort of thing. It's all good.
What other choice do we have?
Dragged, kicking, and screaming, as it were. You bet.
So what's happening today with Prout Financial Design?
We're talking about how to talk to your parents about their finances. Yes. How to talk to your parents about money. Well, do we have to talk about money right away? No. It doesn't necessarily have to be about money, especially if you know they're sensitive. So first of all, pay attention, if you will, to your own gut when you're talking to your parents about their finances. 73%, they did a survey, imagine, have not had detailed conversations with their parents about their finances. The name of this article and a book, 10 Ways to Talk to Your Aging Parents About Their Finances.
Which, we're going to do a trivia and give away this book. It's called Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk by Cameron Huddleston. So the Kiplinger wrote the article we're going to go through today, but
yes.
I do have the book to give away.
Is that to talk to your parents because you're concerned that they're set up and doing okay for them, or to talk to them about do they have plans for their money?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes.
Both.
Excuse me. So yes, the answer to that is yes. They have not had detailed conversations with their parents about their finances, according to a survey by Go Banking Rates. One of the primary reasons why they have not had that conversation with their parents is because they don't know how to have the discussion. And believe it or not, most parents want to have this conversation. They do. For myself, if our children asked us about our finances or, you know, what we had planned, I'd welcome the conversation. Obviously, I talk about other people's situations on a daily basis. But to be asked about it, I'd love it. Most of the conversations that we've had with them have been fostered or started by us. So many children believe falsely they will be seen as gold diggers if they start to have this conversation. So it doesn't have to be about the money. It can be about those issues revolving around the money as well. To help maybe for if you're concerned about bringing this up with your parents, obviously then, given that they want to have this conversation with you, perhaps you need to make this happen with your children. Do it yourself, right? Sometimes that may be the best way to get through this. Ideally, you want the conversation to happen when your parents are in good health, mentally alert, and aren't in an emotional mess because of a crisis. Because the crisis is stuck. Now, these conversations, whether it happened by you starting them or by the crisis starting the conversation. So many times you can make that decision. And for those of you who are concerned about another sibling having an issue with this, bring it to them first. Include them in the conversation. or make certain that they're aware of it as well, if you want some form of accountability, which they may want anyway, or you may want as well. The good news is that your parents probably won't resist your efforts to get them to share at least some of their financial information. So start small in this conversation is the best advice I've seen from this article and from the book, again, Shay, which is called, if you would,
Mom and Dad, We Need to Have the Money Talk. It's really good. It's good. I'm skimming through.
You might get
good.
Lucky, and Mom and Dad might say, don't worry, Junior. We've got it all figured out. The information's here. You're all set. You can be done in 10 minutes. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's difficult, right? Though. You've got the baby boomers whose parents are part of the silent generation. So talking about money is very taboo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the boomers, who are trying to take care of their parents and get their adult children on their feet, which has been difficult. So it's a little bit of a pickle, as they'd say.
Can be. So to break this down perhaps a bit more, before you decide what you want to say to your parents, you need to figure out when to have that conversation with them. Part of it is timing. When they're more calm, and that is considerate. You have much more success if you try to start a conversation with your parents at a time when everyone is relaxed or relatively relaxed and emotions aren't running high. For instance, at Thanksgiving, at that dinner, you know, when everyone is around, and obviously it's not the right time to have that kind of a conversation.
Especially if your family likes to drink on holidays. Mm.
After Election Day, another bad day.
Yes.
Yeah, that would not be a good day.
And then what time of day is generally better for them? When are they more awake and aware? If they just given a political speech, you might want to do it at that time. Right. And don't push. It might take time and several attempts to get your parents to open up to you. And some of the lighter subjects may be around, what is your planning? This is necessarily considered light, but what if you were to become disabled? Have you done anything about the powers of attorney, durable powers of attorney, for health care and for financial aspects? That can be one of the best places to start. And then what do you wish or want for your retirement? If you want to really back off, what are you guys hoping to do in your retirement? Or what are you hoping to accomplish as a part of that? And then hopefully then they'll be able to tell you whether or not they've saved any money, because Heidi had a great point about that. She's going to get to in her portion too.
I like the bumper sticker you see on big RVs, and it says, we're spending our children's inheritance.
Yes.
There's your answer.
That's so funny, unless you're the kid.
I know.
Another great point is to take notes. You don't want to forget any details, which you will if you don't keep a record, and ask them if it's okay if you take notes, given what they're discussing. And be direct about what you're wanting, the what, why, where, and how. And start by asking about particular aspects of their finances, again, to break it down. An interesting story here. When my mom started showing signs of memory loss, I suggested that we meet with an attorney to update her estate planning documents, her will, living will, and power of attorney. Another great way to say that, I've noticed this going on. How have you structured this? Is there any way that I can help offer your help if indeed it's direct and you honestly can help provide it? If you can help, many times they'll be welcoming of that for you to go to their financial advisor with them. When we see memory loss in clients, very personal, but in some cases, we have to demand that a sibling or a child or the most immediate relative be in that meeting as well to make certain that everything is heard properly.
Hmm. Speaking of which.
And understood.
It was kind of interesting this summer. So my parents glamp. They've got a glamper. That's what I call it. So anyways, that's my weekend retreat. And I was there over one weekend, and a buddy of mine lives there. And he just retired like 2 years ago.
Where is this? Is this
Ludington in Ludington. Okay. And I said, hey, why don't you just swing by, say hi. I haven't seen you in a year or two. And he goes, yeah, I'll do that. I got to go let the neighbor's friend's dog out. They're out of town. So he came over, and for an hour I heard about absolutely everything, how his retirement was going, He had saved and been really diligent in saving. He had lost his stepmother that spring and had been, you know, he's kind of at that age where he's watching some friends pass away and retire. And so it was great to see him, great to catch up. And then on Monday night, I found out Tuesday that Monday he passed away.
Ooh.
And had a heart failure. And it's pretty clear that the last conversation he had with someone might have been me, but I'm really good friends with the family. And it was, I could relay, we talked about funerals. It was eerie what we discussed. And I said, this is what he said. This is what he said he wants. And he's a single guy. So that didn't get translated that much to anybody. But it was pretty cool. And, you know, the silver lining is that I was able to translate what he told me as some of his desires, including, you know, having a memorial for him. So he felt like memorials were for those who are left behind, not necessarily even for the person. So having someone to share all of that with, because I'm not sure if he had a last document or not. He was a planner, so I'm sure he had something. But it is important to have those conversations with people, even if you're not comfortable having them directly with your family right away. Start practicing with friends and talking it through. Just call Shay. I have another friend here that's single, and she said, hey, my kids live all over the United States. If anything happens to me, this is the drawer. This is what you need to know. And here's the packet. I'm like, okay, good to know. But now that I've done that, I feel more free to live. To her, it was a huge relief to just know that was taken care of, and her kids, she's communicated that with them, but I'm local. And I think it's good to just, if you can just even practice with people that you feel comfortable, your advisor, your attorney. If you can't start with your kids, start with somebody that they can at least turn to quickly.
Many parents decide to have a beneficiary meeting with their children. We do a lot of those where parents will bring in their children so that the children can understand. We've got a whole module from Ed Slott on what the beneficiaries need to remember or know as a result of receiving those IRA or Roth IRA or retirement account assets, how to handle that and how to avoid the taxes and the huge costs that could be incurred if they don't handle it properly. That's a great way to introduce them to to your own financial advisor, and for you to get that comfort, speaking of that, they're going to know how to handle this. At least they know how dangerous it can be, if you will, if they don't handle it properly.
Expensive,
And a great way to start the conversation. Now, whether or not you decide to relay what the assets actually are is a part you can decide beforehand. So it can either be just the mechanics of it, or also the asset itself, or the assets themselves.
And it can open the door to that discussion by bringing in and maybe having that third party there. It sort of breaks down some of the barriers of being able to talk about it calmly and get those relationships started so that people feel comfortable talking to these different people in their parents' lives, knowing their financial advisor or attorney, so that when something does happen, it's not as hard or as confusing.
Introduce your children to the professionals in your lives. That may be one of the best things you can do, so that if the worst happens, they know who to talk to, and there's been an introduction already made. That's incredible, because obviously, if the worst happens, the children are not going to be in the best emotional state to work through all the decision processes that they'll need to handle. So, Heidi, you've got the sandwich generation. Let's hit that info.
Right. So Dennis has been talking to your parents about their finances. But one thing to remember is not to forget yourself. In that sandwich generation, when you're working with your kids as they get into adulthood, and your parents, who are aging, there's you here in the middle, the sandwich generation. So you want to remember some things to keep in mind about your own financial health. You want to continue to contribute to your own IRAs or your own employer plans, especially if you're getting a match from your employer. Try to take full advantage of that. You double your investment right there on that match. Another thing to keep in mind is maybe to start putting some money into either a Roth option in your employer plan, or maybe you want to open a Roth IRA yourself, or your third option could be converting your traditional IRA funds to a Roth IRA.
Many believe inaccurately that they cannot convert their IRA to the Roth, that there's some kind of an income limitation on doing that. There is no income limitation or cut, if you will, on converting your IRA or parts of it to a Roth.
That's correct. So my third tip today is when you have moved jobs, when you're in my generation, in your 50s and 60s, maybe you've had a couple of different professions, and you have some of those old 401k plans, and you've left your money in those plans, it might be a good time right now to maybe just start consolidating some of that, maybe transferring those over to an independent IRA. So you want to do those by direct transfer so you don't expose those funds to any kind of penalties. But it could be a good idea as you get farther away from some of those early in life employers. You may lose track of them. They may have lost track of you. You want to make sure that you go back and make sure that you have all that those funds that you've saved for retirement and you know where they are. Yeah. The fourth tip is the rollover rules. IRAs, you can roll over an IRA, and there's something called the 60-day rollover. So if you have a temporary need for funds, what you can do is you can take money out of your IRA, and if you return it to that IRA within 60 days, there's no kind of penalty or ramification for doing that. But I will caution people, if they're going to do this, there are lots of rules on the proper way to do it, and you have to get that money back in within 60 days. There is no fix if you miss that time period. So you can use this strategy, but you just have to be very thoughtful and prudent how you use it, and you want to talk and work with your financial advisor to make sure that you don't go over that 60 days. And you can only do this once every 365 days. It's once a year, but it's not a calendar year. It's the number of days year. So, our next tip is the 10% penalty exceptions. When you have money in an employer plan and you need to get that money out or from an IRA, there are certain things that don't have that 10% penalty. Usually the rule that we've talked about again and again is if you're not 59 and a half and you want to take that money out, there's going to be a 10% penalty. But there are some exceptions to that, including higher education expenses, health insurance if you're unemployed. So you want to check with your financial advisor and find out what those exceptions are, because maybe that can help you meet some of the strain on your budget. And a final tip is for people who are 55 years of age. If you are let go or terminated from your employer and you have money in a 401k plan and you're not that magic 59 and a half years old, but you need funds, you can take money out of your plan if you're over 55 without that 10% penalty.
Do you have to prove you were let go?
If you're no longer working for that company.
Oh, okay.
They'll already know generally that you've been let go, or they will have been notified.
You probably aren't getting a paycheck from them anymore. So.
Right.
That too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And just a little caveat to that is for a federal, state, and local public safety employees, the age for that is 50, not 55, so a little extra for that.
So that's one reason you may want to leave that money in that plan to assist you in avoiding the 10% penalty and in case you might need the funds. Given that you need that liquidity, that may be one of the better places to look to for funds on a short-term basis.
Exactly. So just keep those tips in mind. Don't forget about yourself while you're thinking about your parents.
And your kids.
And your kids.
Yeah. So in terms of negotiating this conversation with parents, I'm going to skip about three or four of the points, the previous points, and we'll cover the ones toward the end because, frankly, I think they're better. Tell your parents that you recently had a will drafted and want them to know where they can find it. I thought that was a great point. So if you've had something, a life event occur for yourself where you've moved things forward financial planning-wise, you may want to relate that to them to help them understand that you're doing this and even relate what you've done, who you've named as guardians of the children, that sort of thing, so that they know. Because obviously your parents get it in most cases. They understand what you're trying to do. But again, be direct with them. You know, I really want to have this conversation with you about as much as you're comfortable with. I can picture myself saying this to mom and dad so that we know what to do if the worst should happen or even partly the worst. You know, if you're temporarily disabled, you're in the hospital for 3 weeks. Where would we go? Who should we talk to about these kinds of things? Perhaps start it there. You know your parents obviously better than anyone else, and you know generally how to pursue that. So you may want to talk with siblings. You may want to talk with your financial advisor about doing this as well.
Right, and we've talked about on the show before that Shay developed something at our office called the Prout Planner, which is a source to write down where everything is, what your passwords are. So just like Dennis said, you know where to go to this book, and it's going to have that information that you need to address whatever problem comes up.
You know, we should bring those to the class tonight. That is a phenomenal document for those who might want it.
$100. Just kidding.
Obviously, there is Shay no will charge autograph for it. It's an excellent document for you to help detail where all of this stuff is for those who follow you. It's your own personal document that you could leave in your file and obviously indicate to them where it is so they can find it and then find all the passwords, all the information, all their advisors, all the rest. So they have a way to locate this sort of thing. Then you don't have to wait for a death in the family, though. A marriage, divorce, graduation, or birth of a baby could be the great start of a conversation. So changes in that. Wow, this is the 18th grandchild, for instance.
Dennis's dream.
Yeah.
It is. If you could have 18 grandchildren, you'd be so happy.
I would. Gosh, and I just can't imagine how much chocolate that would take to get them all wound up. Can you just believe it? Kilwins would be my everyday thing then. By the way, shout out to Brian and Mary over there at Kilwins. I'm on a first-name basis. Shock and awe, I know. So changes to the tax law, big swings in the stock market, healthcare reform, the list goes on of different ways or different subjects. You might say, excuse me, my gosh, look at what's going on. Have you guys done anything about, you know, the fluctuations in the markets? That kind of thing. In terms of a will, have you updated that? Because I know you last time you mentioned it was 30 years ago. Those kinds of things can be great conversation starters to have with your parents on a relationship basis.
And seriously, go get this book. It's awesome. I'm skimming through it as you read, and the chapters are great. Like how to get on the same page with your siblings, how to bring up what you've done to plan to help guide the conversation, how to warn them about scammers, why your parents might be reluctant to talk, what happens if you don't have the conversation, what
did
not
you get
to
this
say
at Amazon? I'm sorry.
Amazon, yeah.
Okay.
And if you
name of the book again, title?
Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk. And if you sign up for our email blast, which I write every week, I put the links to the articles we're reading on the radio show. And this week I put the link to purchase this book so you know right where to get it.
Isn't it interesting, too? Obviously, this isn't an easy subject. I was thinking, what is it about this field? It seems as though, and I'm not complaining, it's just that we have to approach this discomfort on a continuing basis. We're all in this same boat and trying to have these conversations or navigate this whole financial maze that we're trying to get through. And frankly, I love doing it. I love talking about this stuff and trying to relate this information. And we've had some of the most wonderful comments in the last week. Thank you again for all that we've heard from our listeners and from our clients. In the last week alone, the number of thank you cards we've got. I actually read those out loud to the staff. It's been incredible, so thank you. But I recognize what I'm saying is these are not easy to do. But man, what great, if you will, without overstating it, gauntlets to go through. It's a part of all of us trying to mature and get through these subjects with those that we love the most and we care about the most. Whether it's our children, hey, you know, you need to get a will because of the grandkids. You know, establishing who their guardians are. We don't want that to be an unknown.
Right.
So you may decide to have this conversation with your parents, but they may shoot it back at you in terms of their concerns that they have. Those who listen, think there are parents still out there listening? Hello? Yeah, right? So healthcare powers of attorney may be a great place to start. You could also ask your parents to share details about their final wishes. It can be as simple as, do you want a burial or a cremation? Mm. What would you prefer in that event? A great comment from George Bearup eons ago was, have you picked out your casket?
Mm.
That is a common theme amongst loved ones of difficulties. I know. Who wants to talk about that?
Who wants to go casket shopping?
Yeah. Exactly. Who wants to go casket shopping after mom and dad have passed away and we don't know what they would have wanted?
Yeah.
It's much easier, if you can, for you to make that decision.
But when you hear families talk about the experience that mom and dad took care of all of it, and all they were left to do was think of what food to eat and then spend time with relatives, night and day experience.
That's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dream. So if you can, start moving into that. I've had that conversation with attorneys. In fact, two days ago, having the conversation with our own attorney about making adjustments and more changes to the will and the trust. Okay. So that's an ongoing conversation I'd encourage all of you to have with these professional people and not necessarily getting these documents on the internet. Because, again, who are they going to go to if that worst does happen? And do you want them to be able to go to someone? No, my situation is simple. I mean, we're going to sell everything and they'll split it up. Okay. But what if not? What if there are other things of personal interest or value that you think, maybe they think, they may want to have you have decided or they want to weigh in on? One of the best gifts mom ever gave to me was when she said, all of us, I want to put your name on those items of personal interest within the house if you have an interest in it. For me, it was one picture on the wall. That was it. And my name was on it when they passed away, and there was no question. That's the only thing I really wanted. So for you, it may be whatever it is, but that's a great thing to think about and to walk through. So this can be a conversation that can lead into many more great things in terms of communication. And you may be surprised at what your parents say. They may be, and this has been related to me, very surprised at what you say. Heidi, you had related your own parents' story in terms of the cottage itself, your siblings.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show before, how my dad passed away last year. But several years before that, we had a family meeting, and we sat around, and my parents were like, well, who wants the house? Does everybody want to participate in it? And it really helped as we moved on from there and worked on the trust and some of the other financial matters, because we knew everybody was in. Like, we sat down, we had all the in-laws were there too, and so we were able to say, well, you know, this is what I really want, this is what I see, and we were able to talk it out. And, you know, we were past that conversation, so when my dad actually passed away, you know, it made things a little smoother. There was that comfort. It's like, okay, I know what's going to happen. I know what we've planned for. I know what to expect. And it was a big burden that was lifted off of us at that time when you're worried about a lot of other things and grieving, and it's hard to make good decisions. So,
great point.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.